This audio is brought to you by Muslim Central. Please consider donating to help cover our running costs and future projects by visiting www.muslimcentral.com/donate.
As-salamu alayka zaynal anbiya'i, as-salamu
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, alhamdulillah, wa salatu wa salam ala rasulillah, wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa man wa ala nawina ta'alim wa ta'alim, wa tadhakka wa tadhkir wa nafu al-antifa' wa al-ifad wa al-istifad wa al-hath ala tamasuki bi kitabillah, sunat rasulhi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, wa du'a lil-huda wa dalala ala khair ibtigha'a wa jilahi ta'ala, wa marlati wa kurbihi wa thawabihi subhanahu wa ta'ala. One of the intentions that we just made was to do hath ala tamassuk bi kitabillah, to encourage others to cling, adhere to the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is what we want. We want to cling. Wa'tasimu bi hablillahi jami'an. Cling altogether. Hold firmly to the rope of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so inshallah ta'ala, this is what we hope in these sessions, we will strengthen our relationship with the Qur'an, strengthen our clinging to his book subhanahu wa ta'ala, and inshallah the meanings of Allah Tabarakallah's book will be understood and put into practice, and as we attain ilm and amal, knowledge, and then put that knowledge into practice, we hope that that will bequeath a beautiful state. And there is no human being that has come that has internalized any of the divinely revealed books, especially those from the Ummah of our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, except that it gave birth to the greatest fruits of all. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us tawfiq. We are now going to take the ninth etiquette of the adab al-zahira, the outward etiquettes of the Quran, of Quranic recitation, according to Hujjat al-Islam, Imam al-Ghazali in his book Kitab Tilawat al-Quran, that's a part of the Ihya al-Umiddin. And so, التاسئ في الجهر بالقراءة. Now he's going to speak about reciting audibly, out loud. And he's going to present the different narrations that point to it being a good thing to do, and sometimes it being better to actually recite so that only one can hear their own selves. And he's going to intersperse that discussion with some important ahkam, rulings of the sacred law that we should know. So this is the ninth etiquette on reciting audibly. And he says, وَلَا شَكْ, there's no doubt, فِي أَنَّهُ لَا بُدَّ أَنْ يَجْهَرَ بِهَا إِلَى حَدٍ يُسْمِعُ نَفْسَهُ. So he's talking about the Sharia minimum, the legal minimum, to be considered to be recitation. Whatever it is that we are reciting in prayer, or any invocation that we are reciting, any Quran that we are reciting, we have to recite in a way so that we hear our own selves. Yusmi'u nafsahu, literally where you make yourself hear your own self. You can hear your own recitation. Now, that is of course in normal conditions without a lot of background noise. That is the criterion. He says, why? إِذِ الْقِرَاءَةِ عِبَارَةٌ أَنْ تَقْطِئَ الصَّوْتِ بِالْحُرُوفِ. Because reading, what it really is, or reciting, is about distinguishing clearly between sounds and between letters. وَلَا بُدَّ مِنْ صَوْتٍ. So there has to be a sound that is heard from it. You have to project it slightly, at least with your voice. وَأَقَلُّهُ مَا يُسْمِعُ نَفْسُهُ. The legal minimum is that you can hear yourself recite or read. فَلَمْ تُسْمِعْ نَفْسُهُ. So if a person just moves his tongue, for instance, or doesn't move his tongue at all and just recites in his heart, لَمْ تَصِحَ صَلَاتُ, someone's prayer is actually not accepted. In order for your prayer to be accepted, you have to move your tongue and actually recite so that in normal conditions you can actually hear yourself recite. فَأَمَّا الْجَهْرُ بِهَيْثِ يُسْمِعُ غَيْرُ فَهُوَ مَحْبُوبٌ عَلَى وَجْهُ وَمَكْرُهٌ عَلَى وَجْهٍ آخَرٍ. As for reciting audibly so that other people can hear you, he says, from one standpoint, this is something praiseworthy. From another standpoint, it could take on the legal ruling of being offensive legally. So he's going to get into that debate. And he's going to present both sides. And then he's going to give us a way to understand the different narrations. So he says, وَيُدُلُّ عَلَى إِسْتِحْبَابِ الْإِسْرَاءِ. So The following narrations indicate the recommended nature of Israr, that is reciting silently. And of course, what is meant here silently is where you only hear yourself recite. And there's a narration where the Prophet ﷺ said, "Al-jahiru bil-Qurani kal-jahiru bil-sadaqa." The one who recites the Quran out loud is like the one who gives charity openly. وَالْمُسِرُّ بِهِ كَالْمُسِرِّ بِالصَّدَقَةِ. And the one who gives charity, the one who recites silently, is like the one who gives charity silently. And of course, that we know, there is increased reward for giving charity, such that giving charity such that no one knows. So secretly, I think I said silently, giving charity secretly. And we know that there is an increased reward for doing so because of the sincerity of the act. And there is a hadith that's indicated, that it's narrated, that our Prophet said, يَفْضُلُ عَمَلُ السِّرْ عَلَى عَمَلِ الْعَلَمِ عَلَى الْعَمَلِ الْعَلَانِيَةِ سَبْعِينَ ضِعْفًا. So, doing actions secretly are more virtuous than doing actions openly 70 times fold. So this is a general principle. And there's of course exceptions to that, when by doing something you can be followed outwardly and openly, that then people will follow you in doing so, then it's actually recommended to do that. But the general rule is we should try to hide our good deeds. We should try to worship Allah secretly and do things in a way that no one else knows what it is that we're doing. And closely related to this is what they actually mention when they talk about riya, ostentation. One of the types of riya is when you have done an act secretly and you know that someone found out about what it is that you've done. If you find joy in your heart and happiness that person now knows, it's a sign that there's riya and ostentation in the heart. Because where is that happiness coming from? If you didn't want something from that person, if you didn't like the stature that you have in the heart of that person, you wouldn't have happiness or joy in your heart. So this is a general principle that doing acts of goodness secretly is preferable and the reward is multiplied as opposed to doing them openly. And then in another hadith, خَيْرَ الرِّزْقْ مَا يَكْفِي. The best of sustenance is that which suffices you. خَيْرَ الرِّزْقْ. Where is this understanding in the modern world? There's so many benefits and there's so many jewels of wisdom in the words of our Prophet ﷺ. How could it be otherwise when he was the most knowledgeable person who ever walked the face of this earth ﷺ? خَيْرَ الرِّزْقْ مَا يَكْفِي. The very best of sustenance is that which suffices. And the Prophet ﷺ made dua for his family. اللَّهُمَّ اِجْعَلْ رِزْقَ آلِ مُحَمَّدٍ كَفَافًا. O Allah, make the sustenance of the family of Muhammad just sufficient for them, just enough to get them by. وَخَيْرَ الذِّكْرِ الْخَفِي. And the very best way of remembering Allah is to do so in a hidden fashion, khafi, subtly, in a way that other people are not aware of it. So this general hadith relates to that the topic of Quranic recitation as well, just as the hadith that came before relates to it specifically. And then we have a narration where there was Sa'id ibn Musayyib, one of the tabi'een, is that one night in the masjid of the Prophet ﷺ, he's heard someone praying. And he was outside of the masjid and heard someone inside the masjid, and it turns out that it was the Caliph Umar ibn Abd al-Aziz. He had a very beautiful voice and he was reciting out loud. And he said to the young man who was with him, i.e. that Sayyid ibn Musayyib, that go to this person praying and tell him to lower his voice in recitation. And so the young man apparently didn't really want to do this. He was probably embarrassed. He says, the masjid doesn't belong to us. And he says, every man can do what they basically want in the masjid. So Sa'id ibn Musayyib, from where he was, raised his voice. He says, oh, you who are praying, If you want Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if you're seeking His countenance through your prayer, then lower your voice and recite more quietly. But if you're seeking people through your recitation, he says, no, that they can't do anything for you apart from any blessing that might come to you from Allah. There's nothing people can do for you. And so then, فَسَكَتَ أَمْرُ بْنُ عَبْدِ عَزِيزٍ. And so then he lowered his recitation and started reciting silently, prayed to finish his rak'ahs quickly, and then he went. And this was when he was the Amir of Medina. So it shows how they could actually advise the Amir of Medina in that way, and how that they didn't fear anyone when it came to their religious principles, that they would tell it as it was. And at the same time, it shows the utter humility of Sayyidina Umar bin Abdul Aziz radiallahu ta'ala anhu. So that's what he mentions and presents in relation to reciting silently. وَيُدُلُّ عَلَى اسْتِحْبَابَ جَهْرٍ مَا رُوِيَ أَنَّ النَّبِيَّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ سَمِعَ جَمَاعَةً مِنْ أَصْحَابِهِ يَجْهَرُونَ فِي صَلَاةِ اللَّيْلِ فَصَوَّبَ ذَلِكَ. But we have other narrations that indicate the recommended nature of reciting audibly, out loud, so that other people could hear. And that in this particular hadith in Bukhari Muslim, is that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam heard a number of his companions reciting out loud, and he deemed their recitation to be good, and thus confirming audible recitation so that other people could hear. And then in another hadith that the Prophet said, if one of you, إِذَا قَامَ أَحَدُكُمْ مِنَ اللَّيْلِ يُصَلِّي, if one of you stands up to pray at night, فَلْيَجْهَرْ بِقِرَاءَتِهِ, then let him recite audibly, فَإِنَّ الْمَلَائِكَ وَأَمَّادِ الدَّارِ, because the angels and those residing in the house, يَسْتَمِعُونَ لِقِرَاءَتِهِ, will listen to his recitation, وَيُصَلُّونَ بِصَلَاتِهِ, and pray with his prayer. And the malaika and the umar, those inhabiting that we don't see, will take part in the prayer. And then we have another narration where the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, one time he passed by three of his companions, and each one was doing something slightly different. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam passed by Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq, and kana wa huwa yukhafit, he was reciting in a soft, quieter voice. And then the Prophet asked him about that, and he said, "Inna ladhi unaji hu yasma'uni." And when the Prophet asked him, Abu Bakr said, "The one that I am intimately conversing with, he hears me." So that was how Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq viewed it. And then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam passed by Sayyidina Umar, and he was reciting audibly out loud. And the Prophet asked Umar about that, and he says, "Uqidhul wasnan," that I am reciting to wake up the one who is sleeping, wa azjur ash-shaytan, and I'm trying to repel the shaytan. Wa marra ala Bilal, and then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam passed by Bilal al-Habashi, and he would be reciting verses from one chapter, and then he would recite verses from a different chapter. And then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam asked him about this, and he said that I like to mix these good verses with these good verses. And then the Prophet ﷺ said, "Kullukum qad ahsana wa asab," all of you have done well and are in the right. And so what the Prophet ﷺ indicated here was that people are of different states. And as long as what it is that we're doing is done sincerely for the sake of Allah Ta'ala and is based upon proper knowledge, it is something that can be valid, which shows that there's also multiple expressions of what can be right. So then Imam al-Zaydi is going to summarize these two different positions for us. So how do we join between these? He said that when it comes to reciting silently, he says it is more distant from ostentation and doing it for the sake of people. And anyone who fears falling into ostentation, it's better for them to recite silently, so that people can't hear him. And if he doesn't fear this though, and as long as when he's reciting audibly, he is not reciting in a way that is disturbing someone else who's praying, so that if you're in a public space and you're reciting such that the person next to you who's also reciting or doing some other form of worship, you're reciting in a way that's disturbing them, That's something that you shouldn't do. So if you don't fear ostentation and you don't fear disturbing someone else, then reciting audibly is better. Why? Because there is that the action that you're doing is not restricted only to you. The benefit actually extends to other people. So the فَإِنُّهُ يُوقِذُ قَلْبِ الْقَارِئِ, it's actually by reciting audibly a way to make sure that you stay wakeful. And it actually helps you to concentrate and reflect more deeply upon the verses. And that it also wards off sleep from you and increases your energy, takes from your laziness or your lackadaisicalness. And then you also hope that you'll benefit other people. Maybe other people hear you reciting and start reciting and so forth and so on. So this is the breakdown that he gives. And he says, فَمِنْهَا فَمَهْمَا حَضَرُهُ شَيْءٌ مِنْ هَذِي النِّيَاتِ فَالْجَهْرُ أَفْضَلُ. So for those that are making any of the previously mentioned intentions, for them to recite audibly is actually better. وَنِنْ اجْتَمَعَتْ هَذِي النِّيَاتِ تَضَاعَفَ الْأَجْرِ. And if these intentions are joined together, then the reward will even be further multiplied. So again, this is opens up the door for the intention here and how we can intend a number of different things. And as long as they're valid intentions in the sacred law, for each one of them, we actually get an additional reward. So we should make multiple intentions behind everything that is that we do. So this is what he said. When ijtama'at hadhihi an-niyat tada'af al-ajr. If these intentions are gathered together, the reward will be multiplied. And then he says a principle that doesn't just apply to Quranic recitation, to all of our good acts, will be كَثْرَةِ النِّيَاتِ تَزْكُ الْأَعْمَالِ الْأَبْرَارِ تَزْكُ أَعْمَالِ الْأَبْرَارِ. And by making abundant intentions, many intentions for all of the acts that we do, the good deeds of the righteous grow and they increase. وَتَتَضَاعَفُ أُجُورُهُمْ. And their rewards that they receive are multiplied. فَإِنْ كَانَ فِي الْعَمَلِ الْوَاحِلِ عَشْرُ نِيَاتٍ كَانَ فِي عَشْرُ تُؤُجُورٍ. So if someone has 10 intentions behind one thing that is that they're doing, they will have 10 different rewards. And for this reason, that Imam Ghazali is saying, is that reading the Qur'an from the Mus'haf is better. Why? Because it causes you to worship more. How? Because you're not only reciting, you're also, your eyes are in a state of worship by reading the Mus'haf. Your hands are in a state of worship by holding the Mus'haf. And so there, you're not just standing, your hands are active in worship, your eyes are active in worship, and your tongue is active in worship. And then he mentions Sayyidina Uthman bin Affan, is that وَخَرَكَ عُثْمَانَ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنُهُ مُصْحَفَيْنِ لِكَثْرَةِ قِرَاءَتِ مِنْهُمَا. There was two different masahif that he recited it so much that the binding became detached. And many of the Sahaba used to read the Qur'an from a mushaf, from an actual copy of the Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's book. And وَيَكْرَهُونَ أَنْ يَخُرُجْ يَوْمَ وَلَمْ يُنْدُرُمْ فِي الْمُصْحَفِ. They used to dislike to have a day pass and not look at the Mus'haf. So let's let you and I, even if we can't read Arabic, let's at least look at the Mus'haf every single day. Even if we're so busy we can't even read one page, let's at least look at the Mus'haf every day with ta'zim and with exaltation, with the intention of benefiting. And there's a note here that points to Imam An-Nawawi's position about there's a debate about, is it better to read from a Mus'haf? And of course, Imam Al-Ghazali just mentioned his position, or to read from someone's memory. And Imam An-Nawawi also says that reading it from the Mus'haf is better, similar to what Imam Al-Ghazali said. And this is what many of the Salaf, the righteous predecessors, also said. But the later scholar said, one has to look at the state of the one reciting. And if by reciting from memory, it's easier for him to reflect upon the verses that he's reciting and he has better concentration, then it's better for him to recite from memory. And that if they're equal, or that someone actually has better concentration from reciting from the Mus'haf, then it's better to recite from the Mus'haf, from an actual copy of the Qur'an. And some of the jurists of Egypt one time came into the presence of Imam Shafi'i, and this was towards the latter part of the night, waqt al-sahr, and he had a Mus'haf, a copy of the Qur'an before him, and that Imam Shafi'i that said to him, shaghalakukum al-fiqh anil Qur'an. He says, jurisprudence, fiqh, has preoccupied you from Allah's book. Inni la usalli al-atama wa adha al-mus'haf bayni yadaya fama utabbiquhu hatta usbih. Indeed, that I pray the Isha prayer, and then I read the Qur'an before me, and I don't close it until the morning. And in general, we know that he used to divide his time, one third for worship, one third for knowledge, one third for his nafs and for rest. But in general, we want to, according to the statement of Imam Malik, we want to worship Allah in a way that doesn't prevent us from studying sacred knowledge, and we want to seek sacred knowledge in a way that doesn't prevent us from having a base level of worship. May Allah tabarak wa ta'ala give us tawfiq and to bless us to have etiquette with Allah ta'ala's book inwardly and outwardly, and inshallah ta'ala, we will take the 10th etiquette, the final etiquette of the outward etiquettes that pertain to the Qur'an, inshallah ta'ala, in the next session. Barakallahu feekum, wa sallallahu ala sayyidina Muhammadin wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam, walhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.